grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved.
Brother Jamie Hancock, may the Lord be with you, Brother Jamie.
Thank you. Been a wonderful meeting thus far. And I thank you for all your kindness, all your grace and mercy. Brother Gary, that's a little too much.
I'm sorry.
I don't have a covering to cover my skin on the top.
I don't either, but I feel like a fan.
I appreciate your preaching that went before us last night and today. I'll go back once again as I journey home with you on my mind and looking for the next opportunity. My mind has completely changed to what I thought. And it's a fearful thing to try to start preaching about the things of God without some assurity that you're where He would have you to be. The Lord has told us through the prophet that He'll not send His word out.
Yes.
And it comes back to Him void. If the Lord blesses a man to preach by His Holy Spirit, it's for someone here. Maybe the whole church, maybe for him. But the Lord doesn't allow His word to be preached just to be preached. So it's very difficult sometimes, but I won't worry you with that. And I do have some thoughts on my mind. It's found in Matthew chapter 5. Very familiar chapter in the scriptures if you read them. The Lord, when He speaks, it should be always our effort to examine what the Lord said. The Lord is our authority. He's our Savior. And He's our friend. He's a friend that's closer than a brother. So the Lord stops, as Jesus did from time to time as He walked on this earth, and speaks to us, we should really examine it. Because God in the flesh is speaking here. You know, I often said, and I said last night about the book of Job, 42 chapters. Job record when God, the God of heaven, speaks out of a whirlwind. So if you want to read the words of a living God, Job records it, and other places too. Here we see the Lord talking to His people, and it has a benefit for us. We sometimes think, as I mentioned last night, that God is in heaven with a handful of lightning bolts ready to strike us down. The truth is farther from that. He is a God of wrath, but is also a God of mercy.
Amen.
And the Lord, He is just not speaking, because if you read Matthew 5 through 7, it goes on for 3 chapters. And after we get through the easy stuff here, He gets into some stuff that's not too comfortable. Jesus tells us what we are, so we'll know, can see what He is clearly. This is for our benefit that we are to walk. And seeing the multitudes, He went up. Jesus always goes up.
Amen.
Never down. We sometimes put Him down. We sometimes talk about him like he's just a friend that has really no real power or influence. Well, that's further from the truth. David will understand in his life, a man after God's own heart, when he tells King Saul that I defeated this Philistine giant by the power of a living God. Right. Moses will tell us that this salvation is not wrought by our hands, but it's by the power of a living God. The prophets prophesy of the power of a living God. So Jesus is speaking here for our benefit, not to make us children of God, but to enlighten what He's already put in our heart. Things that we've heard over and over. As I reminded everybody last night, after a while, if we live by the train tracks, we don't hear it. Sometimes I'm that. So here is our Lord talking, and I need this. Your walk is very important. You're influencing somebody. You may think you're your own, but you're not. You are influencing your children, your parents, your son, your daughter, your church members, the church if you're a pastor. Your walk is influencing somebody by your walk. Apostle Paul says that we should do with all we can to stand. It's a great lesson taught in Hebrews chapter 11. It says that when Jacob was a dying, Brother Robert, remember moving forward? Jacob was a dying, that he's blessing his sons. Leaning upon his staff. I was trying to get it. He had learned, no doubt, that having the faith in the living God of heaven was the most important part of his life. So all the ups and downs of Jacob was he went to the end, not being a perfect man, but he was his last breath, he was still blessing with what ability he had, and he was still preaching, still teaching the things of God, leaning upon his staff. So our walk is very important. Where do we learn that at? You think his father Isaac said, "You let me tell you a story, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let me tell you a story, son, about the living God of heaven." It's found in Genesis 22. You know very well. Brother Stan, I promise I'm not going to cheat you today.
Are you not taking my
advice? Yes, I know I'm not, but I... Where did Isaac learn this walk? I'm not asking you where he got the Holy Spirit from. Now, I know the Holy Spirit has always been here. And it's manifested in different ways.
Amen.
I understand that.
Amen.
But it's always been here. Genesis 1, it's Psalm 51. David said, "Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me." So don't tell me it just started. Even though he manifested in different ways in the New Testament, I understand that. Jesus is telling us here that we're a blessed character. And he's telling us on a mount here. And very important. Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of the faithful patriarchs, it said, "And Isaac was blessing the sons of Joseph," I believe. I get anywhere close? Help me, boys, I need a lot of help. But he was, when he was a dying, I expect I'll be complaining, "Oh, poor, pitiful me." Isaac was still leaning on his staff. When he was a dying, blessing. That's an example for us. Wonder where he learned that. I expect Jacob heard that story found in Genesis 22. "Let me tell you, son, what happened one day. My father Abraham, your grandfather," and get this stuff right. He said, "Come on here, son, I'm just going to tell it. Read it when you get home. We going up on Mount Moriah, I think it is. The Lord has told Abraham, get up and go. Take thy son, thy only son. He had two sons, Ishmael. But take your only son, the one the Lord recognized and promised seed. And I'm going to tell you what to do. So we went. Jacob, Isaac, just my rambling. I told you the wood, I think it says. I'm carrying the fire for the altar. And we get to the spot. And the wood is laid and the altar is made. And I realized, Isaac says, Father. Abraham said, here I am, my son. Oh, what a wonderful thing for you young men. He's teaching us there that Abraham was always available to his son. Gary, I really didn't mean to spit on you. If I did, I'm sorry. I'm just bumbling everywhere.
If you did, I didn't know.
Father, Isaac has realized here, wait a minute. I think I'm this old. I think I'm the sacrifice. Where's the sacrifice? Here's the fire. Here's the wood. Father, Isaac says, and Abraham said, here I am, my son. Oh, what wonderful words for a son to hear their father say. The closeness of the security of the love of fathers, sons, daughters, mothers, children. Here I am, my son. Father, here's the fire, here's the wood. I'm not getting this perfectly. But where's the offering? Where's the sacrifice? And then Isaac would say, in my way of thinking, the Lord Himself was there. And He spoke with a voice and said, don't hurt the lad. Don't touch him. Isaac saying, oh my goodness. My father was willing to slay me for the God of heaven. This must be something to it. I was there on the altar. My father drew the knife. This is my father that I love. It must be something to serving the God of Israel. And then I heard the voice. God would provide Himself a burnt offering for the sacrifice. You think Isaac ever forgot that? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? You think Jacob ever forgot the reality of it's a great benefit serving the God of Israel and learning His ways? I bet he told the story until the day that he died. That's just speculation, and that's a dangerous thing to do. But I expect if I escape death, I wouldn't forget it, would you? Father, where's the sacrifice? So we can see the importance in this day of following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a great blessing to us. And you know the story goes on that a ram got caught in the thicket and he was a substitution. It's a great big story. But what I wanted you to see is, I expect Jacob heard this story that his father Isaac told him of his real deliverance. And I expect that helped him through all his life. And I expect that Hebrews chapter 11 doesn't mention that to take up space. But I expect it, even when he was a dying, it says, he was still going forward, leaning on his staff. Bless him. So here's Jesus. Seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure and are sincere in heart, for they shall see God. He's not talking about heaven here. He's talking about a heavenly place on earth that is worth our efforts following. The words of Jesus. We're blessed characters. Not in the poor, pitiful me spirit that we get in, but the poor in spirit. Lord, bless my brethren preaching. Lord, bless the congregation to hear. Lord, bless and keep us safe. Keep us hedged about. I told at the funeral on Friday, I told the soldiers there, I shook all of them's hand. I said, thank you so much for fighting, still fighting for our freedom. It sure helps me sleep at night. And I don't want to take you for granted. And I shook the hands of the young lady. And I said, young lady in the Navy, I said, may the Lord hedge you about and keep you safe. That was I didn't want to just say, have a good day. We've got more than that. We're blessed characters. May the Lord hedge you about as you fight for my freedom. To have this opportunity right here, which may go away. Jesus is saying we are blessed. Amen. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He's not talking about mourning over our feeble efforts. He's talking about, Lord, help me to serve thee better. Lord, show me your will. Lord, help me to preach. Lord, help me to edify and help and not hurt. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I come up here with great anticipation of hearing preaching. That was my desire, just to be able to hear some preaching Friday night, and I got here earlier than I thought. When I go home, this is my prayer, that I reign on the earth. What does that mean? The traffic won't bother me. The heat won't bother me. Because I'll be in an air-conditioned car. Lord, help me to get home. We can reign upon the earth. When sickness strikes our body, when trials and troubles come about, when our churches get down to fewer numbers, and we think, you know what? I think I need to do something different. I go somewhere else. You can reign upon the earth with listening and learning what Jesus told Peter. Feed my lambs and my sheep. The lambs are always the weakest and the fewest in the flock. Oh, may we reign on the earth. May we be lifted up above the cares and the trials of this world. As Jacob saw, as Isaac taught us, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord, my father was ready to sacrifice me. I know he loves me. It must be something my father's got that I want, serving the God of heaven. I expect he never forgot it. Now, the Lord blessed Jacob in a special way, too. I'm not saying that. But you can take away from that little illustration what the frame of mind Isaac would be in. I bet he never forgot when the Lord showed up. You ever had a situation where the Lord showed up? Apostle Paul was preaching one time and a man fell out of the loft and fell dead. Well, you know what the difference was in that scene? There was an apostle there.
Yeah.
The man of God was there. And the Lord blessed him to raise him back from the dead. That don't happen today, but it happened then. But I'm telling you, children of God, we can inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to see Him, don't you? Mm-hmm. I want to feel Him. I want to, Lord, help me to serve Thy people in such a way. And where I've seen Him is through the face of other people a lot of times. The old folks that I helped take care of in Amelia all those years, I've seen the face of God through His people. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. What a title. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not talking about eternal heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. And I'll close with verse 12. Rejoice.
Amen.
Now if we could learn this, this would help us all. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. What Jesus is telling us in the last verse there is you're not the first. You're not the first that's ever had a hard time. You're not the first that couldn't preach when you wanted to preach. You're not the first that didn't get it all right. But you can still rejoice.
Amen.
Following and learning the steps in the life of not only the Old Testament saints, but especially of our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your kind attention. May the Lord bless you and keep you hedged about until I see you again. It's my prayer.
Bless you. Amen.